Hey guys, Lunatic Fringe here. Long time no podcast. So a friend of mine, Liz Mason. An acquaintance. I don't know. I don't like to ever say somebody is a friend unless we're hanging out all the time. I'm old school that way. But a really great acquaintance who I totally value in my life, Liz Mason. The manager at Quimby's in Chicago on North Avenue. Go buy some stuff there. You will get great books, comics, and aberrant periodicals. Anyway, she posted some stuff about me, and I was like, man, I haven't done a podcast in forever. So then I start listening to this Byron Geisen, and Mojo Magazine describes this album as a 24-karat early 80s Parisian no-wave curiosity with Don Cherry on backing vocals. And guess what? It's really good. Of course it is. The album's called Junk. So anyway, Champagne, like sham, like a sham, S-H-A-M, pain, like play on words, you know, champagne. And Junk is the other really good song, and All Those Years, which I was listening to All Those Years thinking about myself. Anyway, you'll have to listen to it yourself. And it's funny because, so I think one of the last podcasts I did, I was talking about Chicago Stories, this book I was almost done, you know, with. So anyway, that was like, sadly, almost, I want to say like a year and a half ago. And so anyway, I actually met with a publisher and she read some of the stories and my pitch. And she's like, I want to meet with you for coffee, but I'm not going to publish your book. And I was like, and then I'm like, well, at least maybe I'll learn something. So, you know, we met at Kopi Cafe, my favorite in Andersonville, and she told me some really great things, and she was really honest. And Dmitry Samarov, one of my favorite artists in Chicago, who also knows her, said, whatever she says, listen to and do that thing. And you know what? I'm at the point in my life, I actually, like, listen to people who know what they're talking about. So, anyway, you know, connecting the dots, that's what I try to do. If you see some success, you connect the dots with that person to see why they were successful, you know? Maybe people should do that with politics. Like, is that person truthful? Connect the dots. You know? So anyway, who do they associate with all the time? Connect the dots. Anyway, that's my only little something there. So anyway, back to Chicago Stories. So now what I've been doing is going on Substack and blogging, which I was like, I'm not going to blog. Nobody reads blogs, you know? Well, I guess they're kind of back. And you know what it was really good for me? She was so right. Is consistently writing and putting something out there, you know, whether people are like reading it in droves or not, it tightens your writing up. And so, you know, and then also I see what people really like, you know, and what they're more like, they want to read more of, which I mean, I was kind of surprised in a weird way, like my stories from Howard Street. So I have a business on Howard Street and I've had it on Howard Street for 14 years and it's a rough and tumble kind of street in Chicago. And, but I've like, it really is funny because I went from like being scared of it, annoyed of it, loving it in some days and not other days. And now I'm just, and hating it sometimes, like during COVID, I was like, what a pain in the ass. You know, there was just a lot of shit going down. And now I'm back to this. And now I'm almost like a mother, like I'm almost like possessive of it or something. Like I really care about the people who I see out there and who I talk to. And I just really, I look at the drug dealers every day and stuff, and I'm like, I want better for them. I'm just like, come on, man. You're timely. You're consistent. You have talent. You're funny. You got a cute bulldog. You could go places, man. You know, you don't need to be selling drugs on Howard Street, you know, and that's kind of how I think. And I think they know I think that too, you know, and they'll stop by and say hi and be nice and smile in the morning, which let me tell you, from a bunch of hardened souls, a smile is really a gift, you know? And I don't try to put my two cents in. People going to do what people want to do. I've learned that the hard way, you know, in life. But anyway, I start writing these stories, some new stories for Substack, because I'm like, just trying to see. And, you know, I know when you write, you have to write for yourself too. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're writing for your reader. You're going to write for, you hope, your audience, because you're looking to engage and entertain and maybe inform and that kind of stuff. I'm always heavy on the entertainment aspect. But, you know, I've also read a lot of memoirs lately, and some really good ones, some not so good ones. And I don't know, the more that I work on this, the more I still love my Chicago stories, but I think I'm going to have a little more of a slant, like a fly on the wall thing. Because, you know, she was saying, maybe you should interview some of these people that you're talking about more in depth and talk about the scene in Chicago with the music in the 90s and then through the 2000s and people that I know. And what I found out when I tried to do that is I'm not like a reporter. I'm just not like, you know, I had Mike Felton, who's a musician for many years in Chicago, and we're shooting the shit in my front room and stuff. And we had a nice talk, but it's not like it was a complete, you know, deep, like, I don't know, search into the underbelly of Chicago's folk music scene. It wasn't any like that thing like that. It was just more really like fun, engaging with some tidbits of awesome. And what I found over my life, and when I talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people, is we all have these really cool moments. Like people say, oh, I never met anybody famous. I never blah, blah. Believe it or not, you probably have, or you probably know somebody who knows somebody. It's at 6 degrees of separation, sometimes less, sometimes more. And I just think it's really kind of interesting, you know, and the fly on the wall stuff, I think we all can relate with. And my bigger goal with the book is more that you read some of these stories and you're like, wow, that's really like engaging, like Rubber Rodeo, this band that I just love. And they, you know, they're not together anymore, but they were this really great creative group of people. And two of the guys are underground cartoonists. And so the first time I ever heard the band, I was like, they were so ahead of their time. Because, I mean, back in the 90s, I did not hear a lot of what I would call like indie folk pop, you know, with almost like a little new wave. And it, there was country in it. That was the weirdest, like folky country pop new wave. I was like, what the hell? So I listened to this band, and there's just something so like endearing about this band. And sadly, they only have, well, they, I've heard they only have two albums, but actually I found three. And so I've really, really liked them. And you know, so I wrote a little Substack about it, and Doug Allen, who is one of the remaining members who's still alive, sent me this really cool picture of him and Gary Leib. Now, Gary Leib, this is how we're all kind of connected. So in the 90s, I moved to Chicago. I'm totally broke. I can't, Mike, I'm in my apartment. I can't sit there 1 second longer because I have ants in my pants and my roommate's driving me nuts. And so I go to Earwax Cafe and I'm looking at the menu, and it kind of reminds me of Robert Crumb because he used to do borders on all his cartoons, these really intricate, and Mad Magazine used to do them too. So I see this border on the menu at Earwax and I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And they're like, oh yeah, one of our patrons did it. You know, Gary Leib, he's a really good cartoonist. And so I went and I was like, oh, really? Oh, cool. What is, you know, what kind of, like, we didn't have the internet, okay, back then. So I had to, like, talk to the cafe person who, of course, was grouchy and didn't like their job. I'm like, I was like, well, what kind of, like, comics does he do? And he's like, well, he has this comic Idiot Land. So anyway, I knew this place that was, like, an arty-farty place, like, around the corner that sold comic books. And most of their comics were really edgy. I mean, not... This was not Marvel Comics. There's no superheroes going on here. It was more like groupies and rock and roll and Vampirella and stuff. So I go in there And I'm like, hey, do you have Idiot Land? And the guy's like, yes, we do. So he gives me a copy of Idiot Land. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. Well, it was too expensive because back then I was like super broke. So anyway, long story short, I end up one day with my crazy roommate, the one I was talking about. And he's like, oh, we got to go to Quimby's. Well, Quimby's used to be located in this like really dingy space where there was like an air conditioning over the door that would drip like goo on your head when you walked in. But anyway, I made the trek. It was really close to my apartment in Wicker Park when it used to be cheap. And so we go in there and I see that Idiot Land again. Well, now I got a little cash to burn. I had a whole like 20 bucks, you know, or something. So I buy Idiot Land and I'm like, I don't know why. It was like this like smart assy, dark, kind of negative, kind of edgy, kind of funny, provoking, you know, sort of like comic book. And I really liked it. And I just, and Gary Lieb was the guy. So he was a synthesizer player for Rubber Rodeo. Doug Allen, who wrote Steven, who was another character that was really good. So long story short, all these people, right? So in my circling back around, Chicago Stories, my book. Yeah, I could go and be like, hey, Doug Allen, can I interview you? But I mean, honestly, I don't know if that's really me. The thing that's me is I am constantly seeking out interesting stuff. And, you know, I do the deep dive all the time. You know, it comes from my addiction problem. So because I don't drink anymore, I become addicted to music and writing and just finding culture and interesting shit. So anyway, Doug Allen, the guy, he sent me this really cute picture of him at that original Quimby. So if I ever doubted it existed, it was there. And it's so funny because it's him, Gary Lieb. And Gary Lieb ended up, he died, the synthesizer player from Rubber Rodeo. Go and check out Rubber Rodeo. You will love the band. I guarantee it. And Gary Lieb also did like the score for Ironweed. Like, go figure, like, just super talented, like art, music, culture, comedy, all this cool shit. And I mean, if you really want to do the deep dive and start connecting, it's like Kaz, I'm never going to pronounce his name right, so I'm not even, Kaz, it's like Papadopoulos or something. You know, he'll probably correct me and be like, you evil bitch, why didn't you pronounce my name right? Because, you know, I'm reading and I'm really bad with that stuff. Anyway, Kaz, K-A-Z, he is one of the like creative people now for SpongeBob SquarePants. But he used to write really edgy because when I got into Gary Lieb and Doug Allen, then I was like, I want more edgy stuff. And I used to read Kaz in The Reader and he had like Underground. And it was really good. And there were these characters. One was like a Bluto type character who was bad. One was like a heroin addict, you know, and they were just like these odd, crazy characters. And I used to just Kaz's Underworld. So I would read that stuff. And then there was books that came out, like comic books, but they were more like novella comic books, you know. Now we call them graphic novels. So I got some of those. And it just, there's this whole creative missima. Is that the word I want? I don't know. Anyway, there was this whole creative soup going on in Chicago. And I mean, a lot of these people ended up leaving and going elsewhere and finding their claim to fame and stuff. But, you know, my book, I really hope to write about a lot of these things and get people to just seek it out. Like, you be the judge. Like you're reading and you're like, okay, now I heard that. And now I'm sort of my interest is piqued. You know what I mean? So then you'll go and check out Rubber Rodeo, which actually R-O-D. There we go. I'm going to actually play a little Rubber Rodeo for you. Oh, this is so funny. So I'm like one of the few people. Does anybody buy music on iTunes but me anymore? I highly fucking doubt it. Let's see. Rubber Rodeo. R-O-D-E-O. Me. Of course. No, I can't find it in my library. Ah, here we go. See, because they have like three. There's Rubber Rodeo, which is, and just, you know, their name. And then Heartbreak Highway, Rubber Rodeo, and Scenic Views. Scenic Views, I think, was the one that was, I think, their most famous one. It was 1984, actually, that this came out. And let me see if I can... Here we go. Isn't this good? I don't have the rights to any of this stuff, so I don't want to play too long. Here's another one. Wow, it's pretty loud, huh? Axe as flat as the land they till. The rivers run wide and the water stands still. God fearing Christians, every woman and man. Okay, so that's another one, which is like making me think of this other band. If I can find, is this them? It could be them. Yep. So, okay, there's another band that's similar. It came a few years later, or maybe they started at the same time, called The Nails. Hold on one sec. You may even remember this. Dangerous Dreams, Things You Left Behind. This reminds me a little. It's got a little. I love the sax. Pair of stockings, pair of shoes, a record by Moody Blues, number five, best for a damn girl dinner. Silk magazine, a black card, don't think about how to get to know yourself. The shirt you adopted used to be mine. This is some of the things you left behind. So there's more songs. That's not Rubber Rodeo, though. That's Dangerous Dreams, The Nails, Things You Left Behind. Anyway, another really fun. These are some of the things, you know, just go look them up yourself. And actually, I was at Ravinia. I want to say people still had to wear their masks and stuff, even though we're outside. And I'm like, this is so weird. Because it was hot, too. You know, but there was like 80s one hit wonders, and it was really, really good. Oh, yeah, their big song was 88 Lines About 44 Women. Hold on. You may remember this. Oh, it's a remix. I hate remixes. Hold on a minute. There we go. Goes so good with coffee. Yeah. And sleeping dogs.
Deborah was a Catholic girl. She held out to the bitter end. Carla was a different type. She's the one who put it in. Mary was a black girl, and I was afraid of a girl like that. Susan painted pictures sitting down like the Buddha sat.
Okay, so anyway, that was, again, there was such a, like, weird little niche time for music. Like, I don't know, there was just all these little pockets of things that were happening, and it was pretty cool. So that's the kind of stuff that I really want Chicago stories, not just about music, but just little, like, cool, niche-y things that, you know, like, every time somebody, now, this is not a Chicago story, and yet... I feel it is because I'm talking about it. I'm coming from Chicago to go all the way to Honolulu. And there is a place, my favorite place for chicken is called Itchy Butt Chicken. It's legit. It's a real place. It's on the island of Oahu, Itchy Butt Chicken. I hope it's still there because, like, I'm going May 13th and I'm going to get me some Itchy Butt Chicken. So they have, like, the sampler one that I like. And it's got, like, Asian flavor, barbecue, super spicy, like, sriracha, and then plain. But the plain is good. It's got something on it. I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, those are things like, again, do I need to write a whole article on Itchy Butt Chicken? Not necessarily, you know, but I'd like to write a little blup. And then, you know, you'll be like, I'm going to listen to some Rubber Rodeo eating Itchy Butt Chicken, you know, while looking at the sunset in Oahu. Woo, there you go. You know, beautiful. That's a connection. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm more interested in writing about. So I'm not sure, you know, that's the thing. When you talk to somebody and they're a publisher, they have a specific niche that they are required to fill. And my book is not going to be a reference book, you know, and that's, I think, more sadly for me, what, you know, Martha's, she's University of Illinois Press. And that's what they want, you know, because they're University of Illinois Press. And so I don't know what's going to end up happening with my stories. But, and, you know, self-publishing, I know so many, like, cripplingly talented people. Self-publishing's kind of, and the thing is, I'm not an editor. Like, I look back at my work that I self-published, and I'm like, oh, shit, misspelling, weird things with the paragraph, the back page didn't look right, the front page has got a number on it, that it should be a title page. I mean, these are the bad things when you're doing everything yourself. You know, plus, I have not done, like, a book tour or whatever. I tried to. And then during COVID, like COVID came back, I literally went to Oahu to do a book signing in Honolulu. And I couldn't do it because they were telling people, don't come there. They were like, you know, COVID's really bad. Don't come here. Well, I was there visiting my brother. So I was like, well, shit, I'm not going to be coming back for another year. So anyway, they were really cool. Bought some books anyway. So it's somewhere at Ideas Bookstore. My book is on the shelf. They were so nice and bought like 7 copies. But I mean, that's what you're dealing with. You know what I mean? It's like these people who are multi-million dollar, like James Patterson sellers. You know, it's a different world for them. But trying to sell it on your own, you're going to be lucky to like make a car payment with that. You know, that would be winning. So, you know, there's just a lot in the mix. But I thought after, you know, seeing Liz's little shout out, I should do a podcast and, you know, make it kind of groovy for y'all. So hopefully you have gotten engaged and learned some fine musical stylings of things. I'm like, what should I play for you guys that like to go out on for Lunatic Fringe? Let's see. I don't know. Well, maybe because we're talking about funky stuff. All right, cool. Why not use this? So here's another, like, weird, I don't know, 80s band? I don't even know. Oh, yeah, 1980. Chrisma. I was reading, again, a music magazine. I don't even, you know what I think it was? I think I was reading heavy metal. And back in the day, in the 80s, Heavy Metal Magazine, which is like a graphic novel, like extreme adult cartooning, like fantasy. They actually made a movie called Heavy Metal. They made 2, actually. But anyway, I think I was reading a music review in there because they used to have music reviews. And this band was, it's K-R-I-S-M-A. And so here's one of the songs that I'm going to go out with my podcast, Lunatic Fringe. If you keep listening, I will keep putting out podcasts. Here we go. I know this is like the synth heavy podcast. Not all of them are. Cathode Mama. It's 3 a.m. You're at a dark club. Because they have voices for when She likes television sets. All right, Lunatic Fringe. You don't need to hear any more of that unless you're at a club at 3 a.m. with a bunch of German New Wavers in black with their hair slicked back and pointy shoes. Yeah. Lunatic Fringe. Callie Redunzel, your host. Over and out.